We're looking at the Ramban in Parshas Vayechi, the Brachos of Yaakov to the Yud Beis Shvatim. We've discussed Reuven. We're going to come back in Mirtz Hashem to Shimon and to Levi. In Yehuda, we've discussed in the past years the main chunk of the Ramban on Lo Yosser Shevet Mi Yehuda. We've covered that. The Ramban has a discussion about the words Velo Yikhas Amim, which is here Memtes Perik Yud Posig Yud, and he discusses Rashi's Pshat. Then he quotes another Pshat, and finally his own Pshat. The second Pshat that he quotes, by the way, is probably the Radak. He calls him the Balei Adigduk. Hanochon bi'enai shumi loshon. What does the word yikhas mean? It comes from a phrase which you'll find in Sefer Yirmiyahu, ha'ochel ha'boser tikhena shinov. And we're talking about a certain sourness. Bosar is an unripened grape in a very early stage, and the teeth are set on edge as a result of the sourness. And the Ramban discusses the root of the word, which is kuf hei hei. And the yud is added as a prefix, so it's yik has in this pasuk here in Yirmiyahu. Or alternatively, here in our pasuk, yik has amim. V'inyan kulam hachulsha v'hashvira. Wherever you find this phrase, yikhas or tekena, it refers to a certain chulsha, chalash, a person who's weak, or shviri, when you break something down. Yomar, and the intent is, shlo yosser shevet noges mi Yehuda. That the shevet, which is the stick, will never be removed, will never depart from Shevet Yehuda. Shevet is a noges. It's a kli which is used to bring about the weakness of someone. That's a shevet. David HaMelech speaks about shevet very often in Tehillim. Iftecho Mishantecho, if you remember that pasuk. Says the Ramban, what is the import of this bracha of Yaakov Avinu? Ashiyovo bno asher lo chulshas ha'amim v'shvirosam. Yehuda is promised in this bracha that he will have the shevet noges. Eventually his son, the Mashiach, will come. This is a reference to the Mashiach. And what descriptions or what powers can we apply to the Mashiach? Asher lo chulshas ha'amim. He will weaken the nations. Sheyachlish es kulam lefi cheref. He will weaken them in battle. This is the upshot of the end of the bracha here in Pasuk Yud that Yaakov bestows upon Yehuda. The Ramban in Dan, in Shevet Dan, which you'll see here in Pasuk Yud Zayin Don Yodin Amo, likewise interprets the pasuk to refer to physical power, military might against the enemies. And the Ramban interprets this pasuk, this bracha, as a reference, as an allusion to one of the great tzeitzaim of Shevet Dan, and that is Shimshon HaGibor, who was included amongst the Shoftim. And he interprets the words Don Yadin Amo, not the way Rashi interprets them, or at least not completely like Rashi, Kemo Ki Yadin Hashem Amo, which means that God takes vengeance against the enemies of his people, which is a pasuk at the end of Chumash. And Targum interprets that Arei Yedin Hashem Dino Diame, which means that God will avenge all those grievances against the people of Israel. And this too, according to the Ramban, Kiloshon Shafteinu Hashem Veriva Rivi, which is a phrase that comes from Tehillim Mem Gimel, but it's very familiar to us from many of the Slichot and memory of the Bakashot that we have, Migoy Lo Chosid. So when we talk about Dan Yadin Amo, what we're really saying is that the judge here of Dan Yadin Amo means someone who will take up the grievances against those people who attack Klal Yisrael. And now the Ramban is going to address many words to the Plishtim and what they did against Klal Yisrael. Yomar, what Yaakov Avinu is saying here is, Kidon Yinkom Nikmas Amo, he will take revenge against those who attack Klal Yisrael. Kol Shifte Yisrael Ke'echot. And the Pasuk says, Ke'achad Shifte Yisrael. And the word Ke'achad means to gather together the people of Israel, meaning the grievances of the people of Israel are not just limited to one Shevet, to Shevet Dan. Because, as the Ramban points out here, Vatam ki ha-plishtim hei-reu l'chol Yisrael, the Plishtim made it horrendous for all the people of Israel. Kama pa'amim, many times. This repeated itself through history, and the Ramban mentions a few cases. He says, "Bimei Shamgar ben Anas, Eichelu." This whole story of Plishtim anti-Semitism began at the time of Shamgar ben Anas. The Mefarshim say that, based on the Vilna Gaon, that he predated Shimshon HaGibor by almost two centuries. Ubimei Yiftach. And now we're going back to the time of Yiftach. Kasuv Vayim Karem Biyad Plishtim, that the Jews were given over, were delivered into the hands of the Plishtim, meaning that they suffered at the hands of the Plishtim. V'gam Achrei Avdon Ben Hillel, now we're again in a different period of time, before Shimshon. Vayitem Hashem Biyad Plishtim Arboim Shana, the Jews were in the hands of the Plishtim for 40 years. And yet during all this period of time, so we're talking a span of almost two centuries, there wasn't one single Shevet and one single Shofet to overpower the Plishtim and defend the Jewish people. Nobody was there to defeat them, despite the fact that during the period of Shoftim there were many men who were both political leaders and military leaders of Klal Yisrael, all following Yoshua, and before the Malchus Yisrael was established at the time of Shaul HaMelech, and yet not one of them was able to subdue the Plishtim, except for Shimshon. The Afal Pisha Kosev Shamgar Vayaches HaPlishtim Sheish Meos Ish B'Malamed HaBokar. There was one period of time when Shamgar was able to strike and defeat 600 men of the Plishtim. Ain't a nekama. That doesn't have a chaloshem nekama. That's not real vengeance. Ki eineno mako rabo, because relative to what the Plishtim were doing and their powers, it really didn't make a dent in them. But al kein kosev b'shimshon v'hu yachel oshias yisrael mi'ad haplishtim. But Shimshon made a tremendous impact on in defeating the Plishtim, and that's why the pasuk talks about Shimshon as Moshion Shel Yisrael Miad Plishtim. Lokach Nikmas Yisrael Mehem Ki Horeg Mehem Am Rav. He was able to bring down a great percentage of the Plishtim, the people of the Plishtim. He really achieved the Nakoma of Klal Yisrael against the Plishtim. The Chalsarne Plishtim Hamas, he killed all the officers of the Plishtim. The Hizkir Yodin Kihoya Noke Mazesh Shofe Lo Melech. So we see that both in the case of Yehuda and in the case of Dan, the Ramban is focused on military power to defeat the energies. If we look at Pasuk Yud Zayin, which is the next Pasuk, we did Pasuk Tes Zayin, Dan is compared to a Nachash, and I'll lay Derech Shfifon. The Ramban has a long discussion here about the word Shfifon. We're not going to get into it, but once again, the vision here of this bracha, which also refers to Shimshon, is that of a snake which bites the heels of a horse. The horse lifts up his head and its legs, its front legs, and the rider who's riding the horse falls backwards. And this is what the Ramban uses to explain the illusion here, the vision of Dan as a Nachash. And he specifically relates to Shloshes Alofim Asher Al Agag. When Shimshon brings down the building with the plishtim in it, there are 3,000 people on the roof. And they can be compared to the rider who falls back when the horse is bitten in its heels by the Nachash. We move on to Pasuk Yutes. Gad Gidud Yigudenu Vehu Yagud Akov. So we're talking about Shevet God, and we're talking about an army that's marching against God, but yet he forces it back on its heels. He says, Lo haya b'chol shiftei Yisrael mishen nafal b'yad oivav zulosei Shimshon shu'an nochash hazeh. The only one of the shvatim that we actually lost to the enemy was Shimshon. And he quotes a pasuk to prove that that is so. And then he goes on to talk about God, that God says, Hanochad Shiyeh Kamo Lalos Li'am Yigudena. He interprets Yigudena like a posuk in Chavakuk, a nation to come up and march upon them. And basically what Yaakov is telling them is that their armies will march against Shevet Gad all the time, and the Ramban explains why. Because Shevet Gad had a very large portion of Eretz Yisrael. Bavur Sheyarish Eretz Rachvas Yodayim Ugdol Miod Vehi BeEvra Yarden. Right, God was amongst the Shvatim that received Evra Yarden, where he was just disconnected from the rest of Klal Yisrael. Hayu Boyim Aleim Tomid Gedudei Amon Umoav Ushchenov, and many armies from Amon and Moab, together with Shechet of Haroim and many other evil neighbors, would come to be Tovea Nachla, Poshtim Aleim. They would constantly attack God to try to reclaim that territory. However, Vehuya Gudos Al Akevav, he would always force those armies to march back on their heels. She is Gabriel of Yerdof Oso. He would overpower them, chase them, and the soldiers would have to turn back on their heels in shame, says the Ramban. Kilavi shachin al tarfo. God was like a lion who rests and attacks over its prey. Mikolam lo yira mehamonam lo yechas. The Ramban here paraphrases a pasuk in Yeshayahu Navi to the effect that God is never afraid, never terrified by the noises or the voices of the enemies. And the Ramban bases this on a comment in the Yerushalmi in Sota on the Pasuk God Gadud Yigudena, that the army of God, which is powerful, will defeat all the enemies. So once again, as we saw in Dan and we saw previously with regard to Shevet Yehuda, it's an attack against the enemies. And all this will lead to a Ramban about Yosef. The Ramban spends a great deal of time trying to understand the two words Bein Paras Yosef. What does that mean, Bein Paras? He quotes Rashi. Rashi identifies this with Chen, a certain kind of grace, Ben Chen. And Rashi bases himself on on a Gemara Bava Metzia, which uses the word apiryon. The Ramban is not happy about that, because apiryon is a word that doesn't really share the same letters as parat. And according to the Ramban, therefore, to connect apiryon with parat is not correct. And the Ramban basically accepts a whole different approach. And after rejecting Rashi, he says, Aval Bein Parat, the real pshat in Bein Parat, Oh, Kidas Unkelus Miloshen Poria Va'anefa, fruitful and from anafim, full of branches, which is again a paraphrase of a pasuk in Yechezkel, O Kidivrei Bali Adigduk, which once again I think he refers to the Radak, Sha'asu Porat Miloshon Vaterachna Porosov, which is a pasuk in Yechezkel again, which means that the parts of the tree that from which the branches shoot off became numerous. But there's something about the fruitful nature of Yosef here that Yaakov is referring to. Vehem omru ki ben kamo neta. The word ben here is like a sapling. It's a very important phrase here, because the vision again is about Piria Verivia, about being fruitful and multiplying. And what's being said here, the idea in this Poska Inyan ki ilu omar neta shebo poros rabos Yosef. As if Yosef was being told here by Yaakov that Yosef is a sapling and there will be many branches that will shoot off from this sapling. Even though a sapling is indicative of a young tree, nevertheless, Yosef, like a mature tree, even though he's younger, probably in allusion to the fact that he was the youngest, except for Binyamin, of the brothers, nevertheless, he would have many offspring. His descendants will be many. The Aldati, the Ramban goes further, he says, Ben Kimashmo, let's take the word Ben in its simple meaning, as a son, and Yomar ki Yosef hu Ben, Shehu kibo Pores, Poros, Elon Shosul alamayin asher lo yechazvu memov. According to the Ramban, the vision here is that of a Mayan, of a spring. Yaakov is telling Yosef that Yosef is like a son, like a tree that's planted right alongside a spring. And the Ramban here explains that what is unique about this spring, Asher lo yechazvu memov, that its waters will never dry up. Which is a paraphrase of a pasuk in Yeshaya, as you'll see on the bottom here. The osas of bonos, and this tree produces daughters, bonos, tsa'ada osam alachomos hagvos bashamayim. The Ramban waxes very poetic here, and he says that this is a metaphor for the daughters, or like the branches of the tree, who are set forth, according to this interpretation, on top or over the walls that were very high in the sky. Ramban is going to connect this with the last two words in this pasuk, in pasuk chafez, alei shur, which the Ramban is going to interpret alei shur as something to the effect that these are on top of a high wall, which means high in the sky. And at this point, the Ramban is talking about how much Yaakov loved Yosef. He calls Yosef a bain in this pasuk, in this bracha, der chibuv. And now at this point, the Ramban is going to make some sort of a general overview of Yaakov's blessing to Yosef. And that's what we want to study now. On page 1, we're looking at the Al HaKlal. Did you find a little arrow there that I tried to indicate? V'al HaKlal. V'al HaKlal ro'i shi'efaresh b'birchas Yosef.
sheyia bo zecher l'shnei hashvatim hayotzim imenu. V'hu l'shon poras, porat ubanot. So the Ramban is pointing out that in the bracha that Yaakov Avinu bestows upon Yosef, we find a double language. And there are two words that are very critical that catch the eye, and that is porat, which is a tree that gives off branches, and banot, and the daughters. And the Ramban sees in those two words in the bracha of Yaakov an allusion to shnei hashvatim hayotzim mimenu, which are the two shvatim that we get from Yosef, obviously, Ephraim uMenashe. So the two words refer respectively to Ephraim and to Menashe. Okay, now let's take a little bit of a pause here and discuss the following question. We know that the Torah has within it fundamentally two sets of brachos. One here in Parshas Vayechi that's bestowed by Yaakov, and the other in Parshas Vezos HaBracha that's bestowed by Moshe Rabbeinu. And the Ramban is very astute, and he notices in comparison or in contrast two fundamental differences between the brachos of Yaakov at the end of Bereishis and the brachos of Moshe Rabbeinu at the end of Dvar. The first difference is that whereas Yaakov Avinu alludes, he hints to Ephraim uMenashe, but he doesn't mention Ephraim uMenashe explicitly. So when he's bestowing his blessing upon Yosef, he hints, as we saw with the words Porat and Bonos, to the two sons. Moshe Rabbeinu, on the other hand, explicitly mentions Ephraim uMenashe, as we'll soon see. That's one difference. The second difference is that whereas Yaakov Avinu bestows a blessing upon Shimon, and we'll see that blessing, it's not a very very positive one, but Shimon is definitely mentioned there, Moshe Rabbeinu completely omits Shimon. There's not a word in Vezos HaBracha about Shevet Shimon. That itself is odd.
Wasn't that because of the Mises Emory?
Okay, we'll see the Ramban's development. Maybe your answer is a good one. The Ramban has a different approach, which I want to study with you. It's on this page that I gave you today. And having mentioned those two differences, can somebody review the two differences just to make sure we have them? Number one, Moshe explicitly mentions Ephraim Menashe, whereas Yaakov does not, right? And number two, who's mentioned by Yaakov and completely omitted by Moshe? Shimon. Now, these two differences, which Ramban, you know, the Ramban scientifically studies them, and he wants to come up with, evolve a theory, they're hubba hatalia. You know, sometimes you have two questions and one answers the other. And by way of introduction, which is the next few words that we're going to see here in the Ramban and Parashas Vayechi, there's a key number over here. What's the key number for both Yaakov's brachos and Moshe Rabbeinu's brachos? 12. It's got to be 12. Okay, that's the magic number. All right. Says the Ramban, Avol Mipnesha Hizkir Levi, since Levi was included in the brachos of Yaakov, again, Levi doesn't get a very good, you know, such a great bracha either, but in Moshe Rabbeinu, at least he gets a really great bracha. V'shivtei Yisrael, please underline these words. V'shivtei Yisrael einam ela shneimasar. So the ceiling, the maximum number is going to be 12. Lo yaseh mimenu kein b'berchasam shnayim shvatim chalukim. Yaakov could not do what? Right, he could not mention Ephraim uMenashe. Because if you mention Ephraim uMenashe, you jack it up by one, or by two, depending on whether you mentioned Yosef and you. So you've gone beyond the ceiling. What's the maximum? 12. It can't go beyond 12.
And the fact that you put Shimon and Levi together, maybe you can see that you can split up into five.
Well, no, Levi's going to get his own bracha too. So I'm saying with Shimon and Levi and the whole kit and caboodle, if you add Ephraim and Menashe, you're in trouble because you exceed beyond the maximum. You went into overtime. There's no overtime here. And therefore, at best, what Yaakov could do is, and Yoshua, you know, I asked for Mechila if I look this way, just the best thing that Yaakov could do is mention Ephraim Umenashe, the sub Shvatim of Yosef, by allusion, but not explicitly. However, so therefore, Lo Yasim Imenu came b'Berchaso Shneim Shvatim Chalukim. He can't add them as two separate Shvatim. Aval Yirmos Lohem. So there's only a remez. Now, Moshe Rabbeinu is also bound by the number 12. V'chein b'Moshe Rabbeinu b'Berchaso. First, you have the allusion to Ephraim and Menashe, because when Moshe Rabbeinu blesses Yosef in Zos HaBrachi, he says, Dima Oso Lishar Ulereim, two different animals, both of which have Karnayim, they have horns, Vizkerbo Karnayim, Kikol Echad Meyem Guf Echad, each one is a vision or a symbol of one body, Shemimenu Yischalku Karnayim, that two horns will come out of one body, which is a vision of Yosef and an allusion to the fact that Yosef will have Ephraim and Menashe. However, says the Ramban, here's where Moshe Rabbeinu's bracha sets itself up as in contrast to Yaakov's bracha. Whereas Yaakov and Moshe both alluded to Ephraim and Menashe, Moshe went one step further. He mentions Ephraim and Menashe explicitly. Where he says, Vehem Rivavos Ephraim, Vehem Alfei Menashe. Once the bracha of Moshe is bestowed upon Ephraim and Asher, what does that give Ephraim and Asher? As far as Birchas Moshe is concerned. What status? Status is Shvatim. So now we got a problem. Because instead of Yosef, Moshe Rabbeinu has upgraded Ephraim and Asher. But that means that if we remove Yosef and now we have Ephraim and Asher, how many Shvatim do we have?
13.
We got 13. Says the Ramban, that's no kasha. Why? Bavur shesham lo hizkir Shimon. Shimon is completely omitted. Therefore, Omar Beferush, Moshe, as opposed to Yaakov, could say explicitly Ephraim and Asher. But in both cases, in both Vayechi and Vezos HaBrach, we have the magic number of 12 and not more than 12. Okay? What's the significance of number 12? But I wanted to ask a different question here. My heart goes out for whom? For Shimon. Why is Shimon left out of Moshe Rabbeinu's brachos? And this bothered me when I saw the Ramban here in Parshas Vayechi. So I decided to fast forward to the Ramban in Parshas Vezos HaBracha to try to get an insight, an answer to this question that bothers my sleep at night. Why was Shimon completely cut off? Okay, so that's how I want to spend a little time on. And then come back to Vayechi, which is on the other side of your page, to see what Yaakov says about Shimon. Moshe doesn't say much about Shimon. He says absolutely zippo about Shimon. But why? Now this is part of a very long Ramban, and I put a little arrow on the main part. Again, what you're looking at here is, I would say, the third of a long Ramban, because he rejects other Perushim, and finally he presents his own Anochem Be'enai Ki Akosuv Lo Yimna V'Shivta Yisrael Rak Shnei Masar. Okay, that thesis we've seen already. The magic and the maximum number is 12. V'Kach Omer Birkas Yaakov Kolel Shivta Yisrael Shnei Masar. The Torah in Parshas Vayechi says explicitly, you'll see here, Rabbi Shavel points out, it's in Brachos Memtes Pasuk Chavches, that how many Shvatim do we have? 12. Do you see that pasuk? Again, you're going to have to look into the Chumash, because those words have to pop out at you, you know. That the Torah mentions that there are how many Shvatim? 12. The Hizkir Yosef B'Shevet Echad, but Yaakov, as opposed to Moshe Rabbeinu, counts Yosef only as a sum total of one Shevet. Moshe Rol Ahazkir B'Yosef Shnei Shvatim. And he quotes again the pasuk of the Hamer of Osef Fry Behemen Asher. V'hoyab Zeba Avur Shnei Dvarn. Why is it, Rabosa, you're listening carefully, why is Moshe compelled to mention both Ephraim and Menashe, include them in the Shvatim? Yaakov was not compelled to do so. And the Ramban has two answers to that question. Okay, that's the question I didn't raise, but really I should have. Why does Ephraim and Menashe get mentioned by Moshe, not by Yaakov? Ha'echad, the first answer to that problem is ki achar shetziva HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'asam shnei shvatim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded Moshe to make Ephraim and Menashe upgrade them to the status of shvatim. Where do we see this? Not once, not twice, but thrice. Three times in the Torah, Hashem commands Moshe to upgrade the status of Ephraim and Menashe. Number one, b'chanukas hamizbeach, that should be Parshas Noso, or right before Parshas Noso when they do the Chanukah. Number two, the Degolim, because Ephraim and Asher get their own, each one respectively gets his own what? Degel. And number three, B'nachlas Haaretz, Moshe is commanded to divvy up the land in such a way that both Ephraim and Asher will get their portions. So we see clearly that Moshe Rabbeinu was commanded to take Ephraim and to take Menashe and consider them as what? As Shvatim. And by the way, we're not going to cut out Menashe, right? That we had a long discussion about today. But that's not for us now. I'm just pointing it out. For those who, the Mavini Dove are here, who were with me this morning.
Mavin Yavi.
A Mavin Yavi, right? A Maskil Yavi, right? Hine, who tzarech limnosam shnayim biberchosam. Moshe has no choice. He's compelled to count Ephraim and Asher. But now he's got a problem. It's Shnei Ksuva Machishin Zetze. On the one hand, he has to count Ephraim and Asher. On the other hand, what's the maximum number? 12. So what's the solution? V'od Shehizkir Yoshua HaMenachal HaManchilam Es Haaretz. Moshe had to mention Yoshua, who is going to inherit the land on behalf of the Jewish people. And whose Shevet does Yoshua come from? Ephraim HaKotan. Well, you can't insult the Gadol. Right? HaMenashe Hu HaVachar. Right? We got to mention Menashe. Is Hu Tzach LaHazkir Achiv SheGadol Mimenu? Vehine, Ratzel Levarach Es Levi. There's no possible solution by dropping out Levi, even though Levi is sort of secondary. He doesn't get a Nachla, and he's going to sort of move around all of Eretz Yisrael. The answer is no. Moshe feels compelled to bestow a bracha on Levi. Ki mi berchaso yisbrachu kol Yisrael. The bracha that's bestowed upon Levi is in truth a bracha for all of the people of Israel. How so? Kol Yisrael sheyu karbonosav. What's Shevet Levi in charge of? Carbon. What's the purpose, the goal of a carbon? To be mechaper, kapara. Liratzolem lifnei Hashem. V'hutzach lahashir echad bin hashvatim she'enam nimnim b'shum makom. Now, Yaakov, Moshe Rabbeinu, is in big straits. He's got to find someone to drop out. He's got to bump off somebody, right? Now, what's the big deal? I think, Yoshua, you were asking about the number 12. Why does the Torah time after time say that there have got to be 12 Shvatim and no more? Says the Ramban, Shneimasar keneged Shneimasar mazolos. Does anybody know what the mazolos are? Neither. Those are the spheros. Let's not confuse mazolos with spheros. The mazolos
are the various celestial spheres. There are 12 in number in the Rakia up in Shamayim, and they are, so to speak, delegates of God's providence. But that's not enough. Shneimasar Chadashim B'Shana, the whole year is structured around the number what? 12 months. And then we get to something very esoteric. Here the Ramban waxes Kabbalistic. Ushneimasar Gvule Alachsonim. Alachsonim are lines that go out in, how do you say in English?
Diagonals.
Yeah, diagonals. So if you take a look at Rav Chevelle on the bottom, he says that the source for the Ramban, which in Kabbalah is always, it's always the same, is the Sefer Abayir of Rav Nachunya ben Akona, one of the Tanoim, who says that Ilan Yeshlo LaKadosh Baruch Hu, God has some sort of ideal, I don't know, we would call it virtual tree up in the heavens. And what comes out of this tree? Shneimasar Gvule Alachsanon. It's like a hub from which there are 12, what do they call them, spokes? Is there such a word in a wheel? No? Anyway. And the Ramban understands that these kochos, these are energy forces that come out of 12 tzirufei shem hagadol. If you take the ineffable name of God and you play around with the name, the letters and so forth and so on, hey mispashtim, and they go out and they impact on all the gvulos haaretz in 12 different directions, umisham mispashtim misrachvim ad sofa olam. Derech elu agvulim ki ilu hoy yud beis tzinoros. Anybody know what the word tzinoros means? What do you say? No.
Pictures?
No. Tzinoros, a tzinor is a pipe. Who said it? It's a pipe, and it the benevolence of God and all the beneficence, all the influence, the chef of God goes through these 12 tzinoros to balaxon to all the corners of the universe, ad sofo, to its very end. And then he goes on and he waxes very Zionistic and he tells us that in the middle of all this is Eretz Yisrael. You're all invited to join me next week on my trip back home. And Lachain Kar Gvule Alakson Ki Akavim Magbilim Inikudem Tzoyis. Okay, this you'll have to ask Rav Avram tomorrow. You'll have to ask him for some sort of an insight into all this stuff. This is more, in Hasidus and in Kabbalah. In any event, the whole universe is dependent upon which number? The number 12. That's the key number. And therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu has to exclude somebody. And he mentions a sugya in Masechta Brachos, Lamed Beis, Amid Beis. Amar LaKadosh Baruch Hu LeNavi. Or we have Amar LaKadosh Baruch Hu. We don't have the word Navi, but here it's referring to Yaakov Avinu. Or perhaps to Moshe Rabbeinu. Lech V'Amar LeKnesses Yisrael. Biti, my daughter, Shneimasar Mazolos, Barasi, Barakia, Keneged Shneimasar Shvatim. And this really indicates that the 12 Shvatim are keeping up the whole universe. That's the pulsating vitality, the Ilan Vital, if you're familiar with that phrase in philosophy, of the entire universe. And therefore, Bahar Grizim, Bahar Evel, Mono Levi, Lo Nizkar Sham Yosef, Lashnei Shvatim, because there too, once Levi's included, we have to exclude Ephraim and Asher. And that's what Yaakov is going to do. But Moshe has to, as we said before, for many reasons, incorporate Ephraim and Asher amongst the Shvatim. And therefore, he's got to count. Oh, then the Ramban says, Lomona Shevet Yosef, Lishnei Shvatim, a few lines down. Aval Omar Shar Yosef Echot. So Ephraim and Asher are two and not three with Yosef together. Kiliolam lo yimnu shivta Yisrael like Shneimasar, and so forth. Vehine Hishir Shimon. He leaves out whom? Shimi, our good friend Shimi. Shelohoya Shivto Gadol. So what's the Ramban's first answer? Why is Shimon left out?
It's a tribe.
What?
It's not a big tribe.
It's small in number.
All right. I always like the small guys.
That's a whole. There's a whole white rabbi, Mike Sazimra.
Correct. So I don't know what that means. What do you say, Nathan? You have a shot?
Why does it answer though that it's small in number, therefore they don't get a bracha?
I don't know. Let's go on. He doesn't stop.
Maybe it means it's not important. It's not important enough.
Right. Velo hoisavo birchas Yaakov avia meruba. See, here the Ramban is referring to his pshat in Parshas Vayechi about the status of Shimon. We're going to see that Shimon, amongst all the Shvatim, is going to get a really thumbs down kind of bracha, and we're going to have to see why. And not only that, where is Shimon located? Does anybody know? Where is that tribe?
Oh, within Judah.
Yeah, that's right. Avol Chilkein be Yaakov v'ifitzon be Yisrael. Yaakov Avinu in his bracha is going to say that Shimon has got to be spread out. We can't allow too many Shimonites together in one place. V'hine yizbarchu gam heim ibircha shar shvotin. What does he mean here? Did they get a bracha, Shimon, or not? Yes and no. They didn't get a bracha, but the bracha for the other Shvatim incorporates Shimon. It's not a direct bracha, but by osmosis, because they are, in a sense, spread out and included. They're nivla. How do you say in English nivla? Biloshin balua. What? They're swallowed up in the other Shvatim. Therefore, through the other Shvatim, they get a bracha. Asher heima b'tocha. Yeah, I don't know if I can handle a quick question because...
I'll ask you later.
Yeah, ask me later if you don't mind. I just want to do the Ramban in Parshas Vayechi, which should be on the flip side of your page. And let's take a look at what the Ramban says about Shimon v'Levi. And again, I don't want you to blame the Ramban for this very harsh... slapping around of Shimon, because in truth it's in the pasuk. You could blame, if you want, Yaakov Avinu for this, because Shimon v'Levi achim klei chamas mecheroseihem, injustice b'sodom al tovo nafshi. I don't want anyone to try to, by association, assume that I, Yaakov Avinu, am by association guilty. Al teichad kvodi, because what they did is going to undermine my status. And look what they did. Ki vi'apam hargu ish, birtsonam ikru shar. Not only is it bad enough that they killed people, they even went beyond that. They went absolutely berserk and they killed the animals. Arur apam. He curses their anger. Ki az, it's powerful. Vevrosam ki koshosa, achalke v'yakov afitzim v'yisrael. Is there one good word here about Shimon? I don't see one good word. I don't know. Maybe you'll find one. Says the Ramban, Yomar. What does he mean when he says Shimon v'Levi achim? What, we don't know that they were brothers? Balei achva. They worked together in a sort of brotherhood, like Lahavdil, the Islamic brotherhood. They were working together. They each, you get two ruffians together and they each goad on the other one, come up with brilliant ideas. Ki yichem libam alachosam, their heart was absolutely burning about their sister Dina. And now the Ramban suggests that maybe there's a certain limud zchus here. Okay, we're not going to go through this. If you have time, you'll go through this. Va'anochem be'inai, the Ramban rejects it. There's no hint of a limud zchus here. There's nothing to defend them. She'omar ki Shimon v'Levi achim gmurim domim u'misachim zela zeviatzasam u'bemaseyem. Yaakov katzaf al Shimon v'Levi b'hargaman she'a'ir b'avur shasu chamas. They did injustice. And he's referring now to the people of Shechem, who, by the way, weren't such great saints, but heim lo chatu lehem klal. They did nothing to hurt or harm the people of Israel. And not only that, bo bibris v'nimolu, they accepted. Imagine a whole city of men going and circumcising themselves. The Yeshuva El Hashem, perhaps they were ready to do tshuva. V'yukulam b'chlal anshei beis Avram. We've seen the nations of the world being impacted by the Avos, right? Anefesh asher asu b'charon. The od charolel. He was angry for something else. Shelo yomru ki biatzaso nasa dover. The word is going to spread, implicating Yaakov that he was part of this whole plan. The achil Hashem sheyase novi, that a great prophet chamas v'shod could do such injustice. V'zeh atam b'sodom al tovu nafshi his natsu shohayu b'sodom. He's declaring, I want you to know, I had nothing to do with their scheme when they came to the Shechemites and they said, you know, circumcise yourself, you'll be part of us. The whole mirma, the whole deceit, I had nothing to do with it. Lachen yekalel apam ve'vrasam, he curses their anger. And listen how far the Ramban goes. Klecha mas mecheros seyem. What's mecheros seyem? So he has the mefarshim based on uklus say meguros seyem. That's where they dwell. The Ramban says that's not what it means. But rather, what it means is mecheros seyem lefidati. I'm skipping down a little bit. Yomar kli chamas em meguros seyem chayeyem. Their very life is a life of chamas. You could identify their very essence, their very personalities as chamas, klei chamas. Yomru ki klei chamas atzmam hem. That's what they are. Bum yichyu. That's what they live on. And he goes on to quote Pesukim in Tanakh. Ubavur zeh. So all Yaakov could do to complete this whole quote-unquote bracha is to say to them, Yechalkein b'Yaakov. Why? Why does he want to spread them out? Why is it the safe bet to spread them out? Because you keep them too close together, Yachudu, they'll get together, b'Yichud, with a brotherhood, and who knows what schemes they'll come up with next. Is Yafitzein b'Yisrael shlo yikalu. And therefore, this is what, Nachum, you were sort of alluding to before, Ki nachal shim v'toch b'nei Yehuda. They were spread out amongst Yehuda. They didn't get their own nachla. Hayu areya mechulako zumi zu b'chol shevet Yehuda. And so forth. And Levi also was spread out. They had the Ari Mikla, the 48 cities of refuge. And then he goes on in the second half of this paragraph, which we may not have time to do inside, and describe Yaakov's very, very serious accusation of Bertzonam Iku Shar. What does that mean? That they even pillaged all the possessions. So they killed the men, then they killed the women and the children, and then they completely destroyed the city. It's really shocking. Now, what I'd like to do in the few minutes that we have left is to rewind, which I don't have here. I'm just going to mention the Ramban back in Parshas Vayishlach. What was the story with Shimon and Levi? So the Ramban presents the Shita of the Rambam. This is the Rambam in Hilchas Molochim at the end of his magnum opus, the Yad HaChazakah. And the Rambam says that Bnei Noach, Shechem, were given 7 mitzvahs. 6 out of 7 are lota, says. 1 is a positive command, namely what? Dinim. Says the Rambam, Dinim means that the Bnei Noach have to set up courts, they have to judge all those Bnei Noach on the other 6 mitzvahs, and to take Dino was Gezel, and therefore Shechem ben Hamor was guilty of Gezel, he was Chayev Misa. And not only that, the entire city of Shechem was Chayev Misa. Why? Because they violated the mitzvah of Din. They did not put Shechem to death as they should. Therefore, Shimon v'Levi were justified, says the Rambam, in putting the entire city to death. Is the Ramban going to agree with the Rambam?
I know.
For sure not. You know it because I asked you the question. You also know it because the Ramban always disagrees with the Rambam in his Pirush Al Torah. That's almost true. And thirdly, you know it because the Ramban comes very harshly down on Shimon v'Levi. Says the Ramban, the Rambam misinterpreted. Dinim means to judge the other, to judge the Shvatim, but it's a positive command. It's not a negative command. We have a principle as Harasam Zui Misasam, which means that if a Ben Noach violates one of his lavim, of his losa says, he's chayev misa, but dinim. Again, Shechem was guilty of one of the losases. He was chayav misa. But the rest of the city to be judged because of non-compliance, not fulfilling the dinim, that's a kiyum esse. There we don't apply the principle of asarasam zui misas. There was no justification for Shimon and Levi to destroy the city of Shechem. Furthermore, he says, what's in your business? Who appointed you in charge of meeting out justice? That's not your business. Then the Ramban says, and if you ask me why Shimon Velevi did what they did, I'll tell you something else. What you have to know is that the people of Shechem were guilty of much worse averes than just having relations with Dina. They were in violation of Avodah Zarah and of Gilui Arayos, and he brings many psukim to prove this. And basically, Ein Lahem Damim. They weren't considered viable living people. If you destroyed them, there was no guilt on anyone's part. But Yaakov was upset with Shimon Velevi because he felt that even if the city of Shechem was made up of a bunch of no-goodniks, of idol worshippers, immoral people, people who are in violation of the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach, they deserve to die, Ein Lahem Damim. But nevertheless, there was a chance, a good chance, there were indications that they would do what? They would do tshuva. And even if Ben Noach could do tshuva and become part of HaNefesh Asher Osu B'charam. This is all the Ramban in Parashas Vayishlach. What I just told you is 3 pages I just summarized for you in the Ramban. So you owe me one for that. But what I wanted to tell you is, in the next 3 or 4 minutes that we have, and I don't like to go over time because then they hit me with Baruchu, you know, over the head, is that the Ramban says that there was another reason why Yaakov was so angry with Shimon and Levi, and that is because the Chil Hashem and the fact that the nations of the world would now blame Yaakov for it as a Navi for doing this immoral act, which was not justified, it was unjust. And furthermore, they, the peoples of the world, when they hear about this, they will be so overwhelmed with fear against the power of this little tribe, this clan of 12 Shvatim, that they will rise and attack with a military might that you can't even imagine to destroy this clan of people. And says the Ramban, he checked out history books and he found that in fact that's what happened. That the nations of the world attacked the Jewish people. It was a great miracle and they were saved. But Yaakov curses the anger of Shimon Velevi, the immorality, the injustice, and then Shimon and Levi go ahead and destroy the animals to boot. It was sheer vengeance. It was sheer anger, uncontrolled, unbridled anger, Arur Apam Ki Oz. And Yaakov doesn't tolerate that. Afitzem B'Yisrael. You get the impression from the Ramban that Yaakov Avinu came just short of completely excluding them from Klal Yisrael. But they were still part, and at the end of the parasha here in Vayichi, the Torah testified that we have 12 Shvatim, which again, because we don't include Ephraim and Menashe at this point, that's going to happen later in Chumash, and the 12 Shvatim include Shimon Velevi. But nevertheless, the situation of Shimon, in a certain sense, as a result of what Yaakov said about Shimon, and his so-called bracha, which I think you and I would have to admit, is a klala, not a bracha, is that Shimon will be excluded to some extent as a shevet b'Yisrael. And where in the Ramban's frame of reference will that come to the fore?
How will it express itself that Shimon is actually excluded?
Moshe Rabbeinu.
That when Moshe Rabbeinu has to arrive at the same magic number, the 12 Shvatim, which the Ramban says that means that they keep up the whole universe. They hold on their shoulders the perpetuation of the entire universe. They are the 12 Kavim Balaksong. They represent the divine energy that pulsates through the entire universe. Shimon is not one of the 12 Shvatim. Because the anger of Shimon, and to boot the Chil Hashem, and on top of that, the disrespect, says the Ramban, for not conferring with Father Jacob. They didn't even ask him if they could go ahead and do it. They went ahead and they fooled everyone, including Yaakov Avinu. And they destroyed an entire city of people who, in the view of Yaakov Avinu, were on their way to become, shall we say, auxiliary members of Klal Yisrael. HaNefesh Asher Osu B'chol. Rabosai, I'm telling you, when you put these three Rambans together, it really is powerful. The Ramban number one, I want to just review. At the end of the bracha of Yosef, where the Ramban says Zeh HaKlal, that Yosef, by illusion, is being granted fruitful and multiply the Shvatim Ephraim and Asher. They're going to be great Shvatim Israel, vast in number, powerful. Number two, the Ramban at the end of Chumash, in Vizos HaBracha, to point out that whereas Yaakov left out Ephraim Menashe in his bracha, Moshe Rabbeinu included Ephraim, Heim Revos Ephraim, Alpha Yisrael, Alpha Menashe. Memela, they got one person, one shevet has to be excluded. Put that together with the Ramban in Parshas Vayechi, in which the Kloa, instead of a bracha to Shimon, Afitzei v'Yisrael, Achalkei v'Yisrael, they can't be together. Their anger is profound, is uncontrolled. It's barbaric, it's wild, it's immoral. Klei Hamas mecheroseyem, that Hamas element defines their essence. Is therefore, Shimon got the raw end of the deal. He was excluded from the brachos at the end of his Osa bracha of Moshe.